The other day, a long-time customer came into the shop. He was once Catholic, but early in life he left the faith behind, and he now professes to be an atheist. For him, God is amorphous energy or some continuum of recycling whatever life is. It's all very vague, but to him, it's comfortable and it's satisfying. And you know, such a belief is also very non-committal, and therefore it has no responsibility in life. And I believe the term for it is nihilism. So he came in, I asked how he was as he was coming to the chair, and his response was serious, but equally to me as meaningless. He looked aside into some distant place and he said, "Well, I'm not in pain, and at this time I'm not in distress or under pressure, and my family members aren't either. Things are as good as possible." This man was describing to me his very best day, and he couldn't even smile. His best day was just a lack of things to disturb him. As he got settled in the chair, he said, "Can I ask you a religious question?" And then, as usual, he threw out something meant to challenge my faith in God in general, but specifically in Christ, who he assured me equated to Buddha and other remarkable men in history who fully understood the collective conscious that is his God. I told him that before I answered his question, I had to let him know something. I told him how very sad I felt for him at that moment, and for those who have like beliefs. To believe that the most he ever had to look forward to in life was a fleeting, stress-free moment, and then at death, to lose who he is by being dissolved into nothingness, it sounds like such a bleak existence. To have no thought or desire for the love of God or an afterlife in heaven. He was shocked in silence at what I said. How sad to be so intellectually removed from God that one has no future, and in a way, not much of a present either. My friend came in looking for a rational battle, but he was completely unprepared for a simple witness. He was ready for many emotional responses, but not for sympathy. He wasn't ready for any semblance of compassion with its origins in the very God that he refuses to believe in. It's worth noting, I think, that in the scriptures, Jesus didn't spend a whole lot of time arguing facts. Rather, he simply stated the truth of God, and then he showed compassion. He lived his statement, "I am the good shepherd, I know mine, and mine know me." It's very sad that there are people who don't know the good shepherd. And I imagine that there are many reasons for this. Perhaps a loss or response to loss or pain, the image of our parents when we were very young, a lack of teaching or bad teachings, which we can easily find in colleges today, a lack of witnessing to Christ from those around us. It could be pride or overblown independence, or it could be fear. People can be afraid that if I believe and then the world gets to be too much, out of control, then he might not be for real. And then not only would I be desperate, but I'd look foolish. So I'll play it safe and just not commit myself at all. So with these things in mind, let's just take a look at a few of the truths and realities of the Good Shepherd. Now, once Jesus came to us as a human being, rose from the dead, sent his Holy Spirit to us, commissioned his church to spread the good news, there should be no one on earth who doesn't know Jesus, especially after 2,000 years. But obviously that's not the case, right? The Holy Spirit is doing his part for sure, so maybe we need to check and see if we're doing our part as well as we can. Pope Francis told us recently that conversion requires an encounter with Christ. Isn't that marvelous? Christians are the body of Christ, and as such, we are animated by the Holy Spirit, So we, in a big way, are how and where others encounter Christ, the Good Shepherd. Everything Jesus ever taught makes this apparent. The Beatitudes, his teachings on love, the creation of the church, the institution of the sacraments, and even the very nature of Judgment Day and how that will unfold. As you see, the hungry, the thirsty, and the needy encounter the shepherd through us. The ignorant of Christ are taught through our efforts to educate. Those suffering loss or pain experience his compassion through us. Those who receive false teachings come to the truth through our witness and our proclamations. The proud encounter the shepherd in the humble confidence and wisdom of believers. The lonely meet him in those shepherds who seek him out or seek them out. Those in fear see the courage of those who stand up for their faith and are encouraged themselves. The sad see the joy of those who follow the shepherd. And the despairing return to hope when those who are the shepherd come to rescue them. As I list these things, I realize that these are the corporal works of mercy. We're exhorted to perform them. You know, one of the iconic images of the Good Shepherd is that picture of the strong and kind Christ carrying the shepherd over, or the sheep over his shoulders. I'm sure you've all seen it. But you know, the image that does it for me is that dramatic scene of the sheep that has fallen over the edge of a deep chasm and is near to falling all the way down into the depths. But Christ the shepherd is there, completely stretched out, one hand grasping the top and the other one trying to grab the sheep before it falls all the way. The Good Shepherd goes out after the lost, and so must we. Another thing is that Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice and he must lead them. So in what scenario of life does ignoring the shepherd work? None. We are created in such a manner that there is a pathway of life that is fulfilling, healthy, and good. It's a way of living that allows human beings to flourish just as God intended. But like the sheep tumbling over the cliff, we may think that God's way is too difficult, too problematic perhaps, but so we follow a pathway of our own choosing, to eventually find out that at best, it doesn't work, and at worst, it's disaster. You see, there is another shepherd out there, a bad shepherd, who would have us believe that the good shepherd is here to oppress us or spoil our fun because he doesn't really care for us. But this is the one whom Jesus warned us is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Not really a shepherd we ought to be following. The good shepherd must be listened to, obeyed, and followed if we expect to remain in his care. It only makes sense. I mean, how else rationally can it work? One last thing I want to say about the good shepherd, and that's radical love. Whenever Jesus spoke to the people in parables or analogies, there was always a radical element in what he said, and it was designed to alter their thinking. You know, like love your enemy, take up your cross, turn the other cheek, give them your cloak too. He calls himself the good shepherd. Take note of that. He's not just a shepherd. He's not someone hired to tend the sheep. These two are just doing a job, and there's a limit to what they will do for their flock. But the good shepherd, he leans over the cliff to rescue his sheep. By his own words, he will lay down his life for his flock, and has done so, to the amazement of believers. The people of Jerusalem who hear him speak this way hear just just what he is saying. They are familiar with sheep and shepherds, where perhaps we are not. The radical nature of the love that he and his Father have for them is not lost on them in what he says. Hopefully, it is not lost on any of us either. But there are those outside these walls, like my friend, who for whatever reason doesn't know this love or can't accept it. So we must bring the Good Shepherd into the world in every way that we can, because we are the feet of the Good Shepherd that go after the lost. We are his eyes that search for them in the shadows and the fringes. We are his voice that calls them back. We are his hands that reach over the cliff and pull them back from death. And we are the shoulders that carry them home. Every day that goes by brings us closer and closer to the moment when each one of us will stand before the Good Shepherd. We have been told that on that day, there will be those who will choose not to remain with God. How sad will be the realization for any person to know that a soul could have been saved with a word or a deed from us that was not given. With every new dawn that we are given, let's rise and take heart and do our very best to bring Christ into the world so that all may see without a doubt the true nature of the Good Shepherd.